This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, dear friends, Agon Erev Shabbos, Gateway to Tefillah. I'm very excited to share with you this week. We started this 2 weeks ago. I want to thank my dear friend Rabbi Sala Rose of Los Angeles for dedicating this shir. L'zeich Nishmas, his brother, Tzvi Ben Levi Yitzchak, and Hashem Shem and Aliyah. She'll be a male tzioshe for his whole family. Simcha Sanachas, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. I want to share with you something very personal. Many people have asked, you know, Rabbi, you went to South Africa, and we know that you were on a safari over there, and you gave a lot of shirim about animals, but since you're back, we haven't heard about too many animals. We haven't heard about rhinoceros. We haven't heard about zebras. And we certainly have not heard about oxpeckers. You know, the whole time you were there, you never said one word about oxpeckers. Well, it's your lucky day. That's all I have to tell you. Because you wouldn't have known this. You would have thought this is just going to be a shir on tefillah. Well, through the oxpecker, we're going to understand an amazing thing that we began to do this week. And that is ask for rain. Rain is, we have two seasons of rain. We have the Yoira and we have the Malkoish. Yoira is the rain of the autumn before the winter, and Malkoish comes at the end of the rainy season, really in the spring. Rain is a dominant theme in the Torah. In many places. When God says He's going to bless us, He says the rain will fall at the right time. When He says there'll be curse, He says He will hold back the heavens. In Masechta Tainis, it speaks at length about the order of Tanios, if Chas V'Shalom the rain doesn't fall. You know, by the way, it's very interesting. Does anybody know, in the Minog B'nai Ashkenaz, is there are slichos for Bahab. I don't know if you remember your yeshiva days. Do you remember your yeshiva days? They used to have slichos for Bahab. Many people conveniently made sure to daven with balabatim during Bahab because davening miraculously would be 40 minutes shorter on those days. Let me tell you what Bahab is. Bahab is the first Monday, Thursday, and Monday after Sukkot and Pesach. The minog is to say slichos. It comes from Tosfos and Kedushin, because since over Yom Tov, one of the reasons is women dress up lavishly. Perhaps somebody had improper interaction and/or looked improperly, and therefore there is a series of what used to be three fast days, and today in most yeshivas they say Bahab, Monday, Thursday, and Monday. However, usually it ends up being in the second half of Cheshvan. In other words, the Bahab series does not start until after the Yom Tovim, on the first available Monday, Thursday, and Monday. And usually, Reb Schwab points out, it would be observed in the second half of Cheshvan and not in the first half. One of the reasons is because it's much easier to fast in the second half of Cheshvan because the days are very short. So they push it off a little bit to make it a little bit easier to fast. But the other reason is because the Gemara in Taina says we begin to ask the Saint Talumat Levracha on the 7th of Cheshvan. If the 17th of Cheshvan comes and the rain doesn't fall, the Yechidim begin to fast. So therefore, Bahab is usually observed about after the 17th of Cheshvan. Now, anyone who reads all of these psukim in the Torah will wonder, that's the schar for doing mitzvahs? You're telling me that if I live a life of Torah and love Hashem with all my heart and all my soul, the reward I'm going to get is rain? That's all there is? Why the emphasis on rain? Rain, that's what I'm going to get out of all this? In fact, Reb Schwab says, one time a clergyman from the conservative movement came to me and he gloated on the progressiveness of the conservative movement that they took out the second parsha of Kriya Shema from the Siddur. That the conservative movement took the second parsha of Kriya Shema out of the Siddur. Why? He says, this conservative rabbi said, the second parsha of Krishna talks about a request from rain, for rain, which is an archaic request. Only back then, when it was an agricultural society, did they need to ask for rain. And they had a convention, and in a farmer society, maybe they only kept mitzvahs to be zoicha to rain. But nowadays, maybe we should add something about bitcoins or the stock market. But it's archaic to talk about the rain. And Rav Shaf said, it pained me that this conservative rabbi never said the second parasha of Kriya Shema. And the reason is because it starts off Im Shamaya Tishmu El Mitzvoisai Le'ahavas Hashem Aleikechem. So basically, they're declaring that this is not part of their religion, listening to the Torah and loving God. Okay. So Reb Schwab says something really out of this world. Everybody knows how important rain is. Without water, life could not exist. But still, is the purpose of our tefillah that it should rain? And this is repeated in so many places. Let's say in the very beginning of Bereshis, it says, V'chol siach hasadeh terem yia ba'aretz, v'chol esev hasadeh terem yitzmach. Why? Why didn't anything grow? Ki loy him tir Hashem alekim ala aretz v'adam ayin la'avaydesu adama. Chazal explained, well, what happened was the grass stood at the entrance of the ground until Adam Rishon came and he prayed for mercy and the rain fell. Also, the Torah says here on the words Ula Avdoi B'chol Levavchem, that's tefillah. And the reward is V'nasati Mitar Artzichem. Friends, do you see? Rain is not only listed in reference to reward for keeping the Torah, it's specifically connected to tefillah. You see how in Bereshis, the grass didn't grow because the rain didn't fall, and the rain didn't fall because we didn't pray for it. Or in Parshas Ekev, if you serve God with all your heart, tefillah, the rain will fall. And we make such a big deal of saying Mashiv Aruach Amar Agashem or V'sein Talu Matel Avracha. There's such a deep connection between rain and prayer. Why is that? By the way, did you know? If you leave out the phrase V'halei Rufua Shalem Alecha Makoseinu, you don't have to repeat Shemana Esrei. If you leave out V'kabel barachamim uvratzen etzviloseinu, you don't have to repeat Shemana Esrei. If you leave out al chayenu hamesurim biyadecha, you do not have to repeat Shemana Esrei. But if you leave out Mashav Baruch Amart HaGoshem, you have to repeat Shemana Esrei. If you leave out v'sein talu matel avrach, you have to. So 1 second. If I leave out Hashem heal me, listen to my prayer, I don't have to repeat Shemana Esrei. But if I leave out these mentionings of rain, isn't that astonishing that these are primary aspects of Shemana Esrei? Now, definitely, Matara Artsachem, there is no question, is a reference to the physical rain. Without it, life could not flourish. In Koheles it says, Melech Lasode Ne'evod. The Medrash explains, even a king that rules from one end of the world to the other end of the world needs the rain. And without the rain, his whole Malchus would end. But says Reb Schwab, there's a much deeper message of the rain. And you're wondering, where does the rhinoceros and the oxpecker come in? Please, you have to be patient. Says Reb Schwab, where does rain come from? It's the moisture that rises from the earth, slowly, slowly. The moisture in the air, the moisture in the atmosphere rises until it becomes cloud, and all of that, and then it condenses, and it falls as rain. But it comes from the atmosphere, it comes from the the sky, it comes from the rivers, it comes from the seas, it comes from the oceans, like it says in Tehillim, Noisein be'aitzarais tahoimais, Hashem gathers all the water in storehouses, and then He puts it in the clouds, and it comes back to this world. Yiftach Hashem lecha es oitzarai hatoiv es hashamayim, laseis mitar artzcha b'yitai. So think about the cycle. It's in a way a symbiotic relationship. Hashem ingrained in the nature of this world that the clouds receive the moisture from the earth, and after the clouds fill up, they pour it down back to the earth. And after the rain falls down in the earth, and the rivers fill, and the seas fill, and the oceans fill, and there's moisture in the atmosphere, they rise again, they form clouds, they condense, and it falls back again, where the world is what we call a chayzer chalila, a never-ending cycle of evaporation, condensation, precipitation, evaporation, condensation, precipitation. It's a never-ending cycle. This is what it means. Tenu oiz le'loikim. That the world is a self-contained ecosystem where the world supports itself. Where does the water of the clouds come from? What do you mean? It comes, it's in the oceans, it's in the rivers, it's in the seas. And they fill up the clouds. Where does the river water in the rivers come from? It comes from the clouds. Where do the water in the clouds come from? It comes from the seas. So the world is, it's built in, Mineu Bei. The world is self-sustaining. God created a self-sustaining world. That the seas support the clouds and the clouds support the seas. That's Mikol Malachtoi Ashabara Elakim La'asois. God created creation to do. Where Hashem makes the bodies of water support the rain and the rain supports the body of water. It's Mineu Bei. God made it that every creation sustains the other. For example, so who supports the lion? The sheep. Who supports the bird? The worm. Who feeds the worm? The plants. And who eats the bird? The cat. Every part of creation feeds the next. But, so you say, well, the cow is being supported by the grass. So it's a one-way relationship. No, it's not. Because listen, the cow eats the grass. The cow then excretes its food and fertilizes the earth to cause the grass to grow. So the grass is supporting the cow, and the cow is supporting the grass. It's not a one-way relationship, it's a symbiotic relationship. The cow walks around, eating, pasturing from the field. While he's walking, he's fertilizing the field so it could produce more. Or, take a look in this picture. You see on the top of this rhino? On the top of this rhino is an oxpecker. Now, does the rhino charge the oxpecker rent? No, it does not charge him rent. The oxpecker has free rent on the rhino. He parks himself on the rhino, and he has free rent. So you'd say this is a one-way relationship. The rhino is housing the oxpecker. No, the cheeky, red-beaked, black-feathered bird hitching a ride atop a rhino's back is an iconic image. It maintains a symbiotic relationship with Africa's white and black rhinos. They feast upon the insects, parasites, ticks that agitate the rhinos, liberating the horned giants of these tiny pests. The birds also serve as an alarm system for the poorly visioned rhino. When danger approaches, the oxpecker creates a commotion, promptly warning the rhino of an approaching threat, like a lion or hyena. A recent study found that rhinos who enjoy the company of oxpeckers are more likely to avoid getting shot by poachers. They sound the alarm to an approaching human, increasing the chance for a rhino to avoid being killed. Or, what about the zebra? There are two types of oxpeckers, the yellow-billed and the red-billed. While their beaks may be different colors, their role is the same. They spend their days clinging to large animals, such as giraffe, buffalo, rhino, hippo, and antelope, feeding off the parasites they find infesting the animal's fur. Now, what's ironic is these oxpeckers are sanguinivores. Anybody know what a sanguinivore is? Okay, it's a good thing you came to share today. Sanguine means related to blood. So a sanguinivore is an animal that eats blood. So the little oxpecker, he's a blood-sucking vampire. The big rhino is a very soft herbivore. Isn't that ironic that the rhinoceros is an herbivore and the little bird on top of him is a sanguinivore? In any event, otherwise the rhinoceros or the zebra or the giraffe, they would be covered with ticks. And by the way, when the tick attaches itself to the animal, it creates this big lump. It's very painful, uncomfortable, and it could really be dangerous for the animal. So the oxpecker moves on to the back of the rhino, or the back of the giraffe, or zebra. They get free rent, and they have to provide alarm system service and cleaning. You know, they clean the mucus of the nose, they eat the drainage of the ear, and they take care of their host animal. This is all part of the Bria, Asher Bara Elokim La'asais, where the Bria becomes, so to speak, self-sustaining. Not that it doesn't need Hashem, of course. That's how Hashem created the world, that all of creation is dependent on each other. So where does this come into the rain? The way it is in the... he says another example is the bees suck the nectar of the fruits, and they thereby pollinate the flowers and cause the flowers to be pollinated and grow more fruits. So the bee and the flower enjoy this symbiotic relationship. Did you know that it's like that in the spiritual world? So how's that? I thought in the spiritual world, God is in heaven, and if we want to get close to Him, we have to get close to Him. No, God loves when we thank Him. He loves when we sing to Him. He loves when we praise Him. Like we say, Haboicher b'shirei Zimra. God selects the songs of Zimra. God, so to speak, is misave. He desires the prayer of the tzaddikim. Kiviyachol, when we thank Hashem, or we praise Hashem, God takes our tefillos, and through our tefillos, He's mashbia, ruchnius, and gashmius. Think about it. You would think it's a one-way relationship. If we want to learn Torah, we learn Torah. If we want to praise God, we praise God. No. It's a symbiotic relationship. As much as we need God, kiviyachal, He runs the world as if He needs us. And He enjoys our prayer. And He enjoys our tefillah. And He desires it. And when we pray to Him, God gives us ruchnius. Really? What is that analogous to? V'zarakti aleichem mayim tohoyrim, I will sprinkle on you the purifying waters, the rain. So when we arouse ourselves in prayer and song, God responds in kind. We give God shavach, bracha, haida, like the moisture that rises from the atmosphere. And then, like the moisture that rises in the atmosphere, the moisture condenses and comes back to us when we arouse ourselves in prayer and in song, so to speak. That ruchnias comes back down to us, and God responds in kind. And He says, I love your prayer. I choose your prayer. I wear it as a crown. I desire it. And just like God gives us ruchnias, the mashal to that is He gives us rain. And man with his tefillah, he brings bracha to the whole world. So it's not that the reward for mitzvahs is rain. Rain is a mashal. Rain represents the same way the rhinoceros and the oxpecker need each other. The oxpecker needs a place to live, and the rhinoceros needs a good cleaning and alarm. We and God, we both, kiviyachal, we need each other. And the reason why prayer and rain are so connected is because that's the mashal of how we and the Ribbono Shel Olam are connected. And that all of our efforts in ruchnias are not a one-way street. We have a symbiotic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God in His infinite humility allows Himself to act as if the same way we're reliant on Him, in a certain sense, He is reliant on our praises. So, V'nasati mitar artzachem be'itoy is not only a physical promise, it's also a parable. That when we fulfill Ula Avdoi B'chol Levavchem, which is tefillah, God will give an asati mitar artzachem be'itoy, which is a shefa of kedusha, a shefa of bracha, and a shefa of all kinds of blessing to this world. So if I could just briefly summarize what we learned the last 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago we learned that Shabbos is a mikra kodesh. It's dedicated because it's a happy day, a day of enjoyment, a day of delight. On this day, we could really say, if we would ever be put to the ultimate challenge, we would be mekadesh shem shemayim, we would give up our life for Hashem. And that's why saying Kedusha on Shabbos is so important. Last week, we learned about how do you pray with all your soul. The words of tefillah, your words are your life. Life are the diburim you say. And when we pray to God, we are saying, my life, which is being expressed in my words, I offer to you, Hashem. And today we're learning about the critical connection between rain and tefillah. Rain is a mashal, because rain and tefillah shows, so to speak, the symbiotic relationship that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Yisai, there you have it. The oxpecker has made it into the shiurim. Okay? Have a wonderful Shabbos. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Baruch Tia, Kol Tov. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom, good Shabbos. What?
The world is a closed loop.
Closed loop, that's a good expression. Okay.
Depends upon everything else. Don't depend on Hashem.
Yeah, but why
is
it called an oxpecker if it's on top of a rhino?
Oh, the $1 million question. Why is it called an oxpecker if it's not about that? You know, that's beyond the scope of this year. That's Alpi Kabbalah. Good Shabbos. Thank you for the jars.
My pleasure. Enjoy,
Rabbi. Yeah, good Shabbos. Oh, okay, 1 second.
Recording stopped.
Shabbos, good Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.